Thank you very much for speaking with us, Ilan. Could you first tell us a little bit about your own background, where you're from, what you studied?
Okay, thank you. Well, I was born in Israel. My parents came to Israel in the 1930s. My father and my mother from Europe. And my mother, her family name is Yerushalmi. It is part of the Jewish who left Spain 100 years ago. And my father is Siberian Russian family. And I born in kibbutz. I born in Haifa in hospital, and then I studied in agriculture school in Israel, and then I left to study in the United States some engineering. And from 1971, I'm building and creating projects everywhere, in Europe, in Europe, in Israel, in Africa. From 91, I'm staying continuously in Africa.
Yes, tell us about your interest in Africa. How did you become interested in Africa?
Well, I came for fishing. I bought a fishing trawler in Scotland, and I came for fishing in Eritrea, in the Red Sea, because they have fish over there. When I saw the weather of Habash Mountains, it's in Ethiopia and Eritrea together, I said to the government in both countries, we can export. And from 1994, I was the biggest exporter from Eritrea of flowers and vegetables and apples. And I'm continuously, I have a farm in Eritrea and I have some business in Ethiopia. And during all these years, I'm scoping on a few things and mainly on the food paradox.
Yes. Can you tell us what the problem is and why you call it a paradox? Why is it a paradox?
Yeah, we'll talk about three things together. First one will be food paradox, and then after another two. The paradox of the food, because it is people dying. Every 6 minutes, a child dies in Africa. It is 800 hungry people on the earth from 1 million, and most of them in agriculture area. Farmers supposed to sell food. Why he have to die? Why he don't have food for himself, for his family? So I was spending a lot of time in trips as a farmer, and my parents was farmers. I was staying in villages in the desert and looking with them with my knowledge and experience how they can have food. And the paradox, when we are going a little bit back, reverse, to 1950, 1960, agriculture of 50 years ago or 60 years ago is success. But when I'm doing a project with money of United Nations or countries or NGOs, modern projects with irrigation and drip irrigation and computers and electronics in the tractors, it's not good for the people over there. It's good for a big farm of government, but not for a farmer when he has to operate an electronic tractor and nobody knows even how to repair the tractor. And when we are giving them a big loans from the bank, he cannot give it back. So after the bank selling the land of the farmer, and the rich people getting the farms, and the poor farmers hungry. So I have five files of papers and a study of it, and it's proved itself. So almost every farmer in Africa have one cow or donkey. And with one animal, if you're turning a primitive pump or an old system of pumps, what I'm building it from old parts of cars, and he can irrigate enough for a few families. And then, but if he's getting a loan from the banks and he's buying a pump, diesel pump, today the pumps it's made in a cheap system and cheap factories, in no any control of quality. So after a short time, the pumps collapse. And the seeds drying, I mean, all the plants, until he bring mechanics or spare parts. Nobody has spare parts in this part of the world. So he's losing his crop, and he cannot pay the loan back. So the food paradox is not going back to the Bible time. Also in the Bible time, they had a lot of knowledge of agriculture. But it's going 50 years ago, 50 years back. The big problem, the government in many countries, they don't like me. Because they said, no, we need combines. We need modern things. And the seed companies, you know, for hybrid seeds and the drip irrigations, all these companies, they said, please, Mr. O'Neill, you have to push ourselves. We have to feed the people. We don't have to go reverse. So I'm working myself, investing my own money, and it's proving, yes, it's proving where the places where I'm doing it, the people have food and the field of them green, and the places where they have a modern agriculture with all this high-tech, not every place, but many places of them, they collapse and come to a bankrupt.
Well, I imagine that in a lot of these countries, there's a lot of corruption involved, too.
Yeah, you see, there's money, a lot of money, a huge money coming, yes, same as water or snowfall, so no, it's coming from the Europe and United States and World Banks and United Nations, everybody helping Africa. But the farmers themselves have nothing from it. See, when a scientist, say, in university in Israel or in Africa, will have a big crops, everybody will have food. It means he has a good salary at this time, and his students studying and have a good life. But the poor farmer with one donkey and few sticks for shed, he's still moving in the desert and nothing helping him because nobody will give him free food or free seeds.
So does most... Yeah, so. Does most of this water then come from wells?
Say again, please, Linda.
Does most of the water that you're talking about for irrigation come from underground wells?
Yeah, you see, for Israeli to hear about Africa desert, it's a joke because they have, even in the desert of them, they have more water than we have in Israel. So they have a lot of water underground, just they don't know how to find it. They have much rain in short time. So when I'm coming to a place where hills and we are closing few meters of cement dam, just the way of the water to go out from the area, so 1 hour of rain, it gives them a long time for irrigation. And also the crops, some of the crops is not so spoiled for much rain as the European weathers. So just we have to correct the seeds and the weather, I mean for the right weather and the system of growing.
What about the famous Israeli system of drip irrigation? Has that been used?
Yeah, drip irrigation is fantastic. It's working so good. It's giving the food to the roots and the water and everything. But in Africa, we have a lot of monkeys and we have birds and porcupines and wild pigs. Everybody, firstly, so when they see drips coming from the pipes, they are biking the pipes. They are knocking the pipes, making holes, and after a short time, it's not working. So the farmer have to fix, and in the end, you have to change pipes. It costs money, and it's expensive. You cannot fight against the weather and the nature over there. Yes, in my farm, I had 11 guards with fire at night. Nothing helped, nothing. The drip irrigation was damaged. So now I'm using sprinklers. And then if the pigs breaking the sprinklers because they know maybe in the pipes they will have some water to drink. But it's less damage as drip irrigation.
Tell us about the organization, the Food Paradox.
Well, the organization of it is Ilan Ronen himself. Because until now, yes, I found volunteers like Mr. Hans Hori from Dan. He's an engineer of irrigation. He's helping me. But the others, they're afraid to be involved with the Food Paradox because the combine factories or the tractor factories or the seed syndicates, hybrid seed syndicate on the earth, they don't like to hear about somebody is going to use multiply seeds. Yes, before every farmer was collecting the best seeds from his crop, and in the second season, he is using it. But today, they are using hybrid seeds. It means he cannot use it again. It's for one time because it's mixed. And so it's not much organization. I'm working myself, and I'm looking and suffering to find some volunteers and knowledge people and experienced people to involve and to help me with it. It's big. It's for hundreds of millions of people, and the solution, it's working. I mean, if I can save 10% of the hungry people, it's already millions, yes, because 800 million in agriculture are starving.
Have you had any serious problems from the governments or from the big corporations? I mean, have you ever felt threatened?
Well, you see, in my country, in Israel, they love to do a lot of things, but only if it's modern things, and it's helping for the reputation of the commercial companies. because everybody needs commissions or the helping from the big companies. It's good. They're financing the knowledge and the future, but nobody will help me when I'm coming and say, we can pump with a cow. The farmer has a cow, so why you have to take a bank loan for a pump? And this pump cannot be repaired, and it's making smoke. It's the pollution in the atmosphere of all of us. Yes, the German government said to me, you are doing a favor for us. If you save so many pumps, it will be less pollution in Europe. Yes, the earth, it has the same atmosphere.
No, but I mean any of the local governments where you work in Africa.
Well, in Eritrea, you see, when I was in Eritrea, even the president, he called me, Mr. Isaias Afwerki, and he said, please, you will help us to turn and to be here as Israel. Yes, and we did a lot of agriculture. I did with him in Eritrea, even in the military, yes, because I said to them, you're holding so many soldiers, it's no fight, but the soldiers playing cards, so let's make with them some projects. Mm-hmm. And we did with them farms, and all the officers, they did companies, and they have profit companies for agriculture, and the soldiers study agriculture. When he's going back after service to his village, he's a modern farmer. So it's working, and it's proof, yes, the government of Eritrea is saving a lot of money because every camp has a farm, and the soldiers are studying agriculture. At least they are using the free time of them to create food, and the military of Eritrea is selling food from the farms. It's not, I mean, everybody have to ask budget and budget. You know, in Israel or in Spain, it's a knowledge country with potential for so many things. But the ministry is asking all the time budget and budget from the government, even when there's no money they need for defense, for other things. Okay, health ministry need money, but defense ministry can earn money. And I'll be happy to help them and to give them some ideas, because the defense ministry of Spain can earn a lot of money, and really they have the potential for it. They don't have a fight, so why not to use it for civil purpose?
So in other words, you're actually getting the support from the Eritrean government.
They was happy for what I did. Yes.
Yeah, that's good.
The president and the ministers, yes, and the generals, they was happy. I did for them a big export, and then I did for them in the military a lot of help of agriculture and knowledge. Even in the south point near Djibouti, Assab, where it is the hottest place on the earth, they have a beautiful farm. They are growing lemons and vegetables. Everything. It's the last corner in the desert when nobody thinks it will be any agriculture. My design over there was to have under the crop vegetables because it's so hot. So first I'm using things what can be in the hot weather. In the shade of them, between them, I'm growing the vegetables.
Mm-hmm. That's a very interesting idea. Can you tell us about the school for orphans?
Well, during the fight between Ethiopia and Eritrea, the orphan school was hundreds of kids with no teachers because everybody was taking to the fight. So I was driving from Asmara to Dekem Hare. It's like a 100-kilometer drive or 80-kilometer every day or every second day, and teaching over there things they need, like solar energy for hot water, same as we have in Israel on every roof, welding, some other things, they was happy. And it was only a few people in all the school, who can take care of the kids. Yes, but I'm not a Christian, and this is a school of Christians, and it was really a good feeling, like Israeli can help also in the Christian field.
When was this?
This was 1998, mm-hmm. And the fight between Eritrea and Ethiopia, the big fight.
And is this program still going on?
No, I'm not in this orphan school at all. Yes, I'm now in Eritrea. I'm in the food paradox and my own farm and other things of export. And in Ethiopia, I'm doing a new project. Ethiopia, it's more than 80 million people, and 10 to 13% of the ladies cannot have a baby. It's the same as almost every place on the world. And no one clinic for IVF, because they thought it's illegal to use it. So it took me 2 years. I explained to the church, and then to the government, and then to the investment office and the health ministry. So now I have all the license to do the first clinic and the first hospital for fertility, for IVF. And they need it because a lady with no kids in Africa, she is suffering. And when she will be old, she will die because no kids, no food, no social security. Nobody will feed her. Uh-huh. And her husband will divorce after a few years and take another one. Yes. And third of the things, the husband is the problem, but they don't think so. So now I'm looking for partners. It's not expensive to do the first few clinics in Addis Ababa with all the license. And I hope some doctors or special people who work with these embryologists and all this will come and enjoy me, because we have millions of ladies who need the help. And they can pay for it. Not the same as in Europe, but they can pay money for it, and it's profit. It's not only to invest and to lose money. It's pay itself in short time.
Is there anything else you would like to add that we might have left out?
Yes, I'll be happy, you see, to mention we have in Israel many institutes and NGOs. One of it is called the Forum of Jerusalem or Jerusalem Forum, and it is members from Spain, and it is members from Europe, and we are looking for a good project to do good things from Jerusalem to other countries, same as I'm doing in Africa. As a sample, we are now creating a special daughter company of us to help the babies in South Sudan. Because when a baby born in South Sudan, only in the big cities he can have a help in clinic and a scale even to check his weight every few days. And many kids, many babies dying in this country. So we have volunteers now from the Arabs of Israel. They speak Arabic and they can speak in South Sudan with the local people. And we have women who work, now they are in pension, with these clinics for babies. I don't know the name for it in English. And we are creating it now, and it starts to run. And I hope in this summer we'll send the first ladies to teach sisters in South Sudan how to take care of young babies in the first 2 years.